There was something in the first reading that just spoke to me, and I was listening, and it says, they will be called oaks of righteousness and planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. You know who Isaiah was talking about? Us. Us. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, he said, listen to these words, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. There's no hoops to run through. There's no special activities that you need to do. Just call on the name of Jesus. And isn't that a blessing? Today's Holy Gospel is quite unique. We get to be like a fly on the wall. During Easter Sunday evening, as the apostles and disciples are in the upper room, the risen Jesus appears to the disciples in that locked room. And remember, we got to get the term straight. Disciple means a follower of Jesus. This church is filled with disciples. And then there were 12 apostles. Well, this time there were only 11. Because, you know, Judas had gone and done his own thing to himself. But we learn later in the reading that Thomas was not among the apostles in the room that night. But the other followers were there. Jesus immediately greets them. And what does he give them? His shalom. His peace. He shows them his nail scars. And once again, he gives them his peace. But then he says to them, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus gives them a gift of his peace. But then he showers them with the Holy Spirit. Wow. Jesus had said so much in the 3 years about his Spirit, his own Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Father's special gift to his people. And the time has come not for Jesus to give them new spiritual experiences or to set them apart from other people, but it had come, the time had come, so that they can do for the whole world just what Jesus had already been doing in Israel. And Jesus told them, and I'm going to repeat this again, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. That's a clue to all of this. How does the message he preached, which made so much sense in first century Israel, spread to other cultures and people? How did it get to Douglas in the 21st century? How does it get to the people who aren't thinking about God's kingdom, who aren't waiting for the Messiah, and who don't look at the world at all? As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. In John chapter 4, verse 22, Jesus revealed that salvation is from the Jews. That might be a new thought to some of you, but that's where it started. It's coming out of Israel for the whole world. Now the salvation Jesus has brought to Israel is to come from the Jewish world and go out to the rest of the world, those people who are called Gentiles, us. Who's supposed to bring that word of salvation? The answer is pretty clear to me. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. From this day forward, they had to begin the process of preaching the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Did you notice that I said process? It wasn't like all of a sudden a switch had been hit. It was a process. It doesn't happen overnight. But with Jesus giving them the Holy Spirit and more, they'll soon leave this locked room and venture out into the world. But as we heard later on in this gospel from John's chapter 20, more still had to be done. Jesus died and rose from the grave on that very day and has begun the work of new creation. And I think it's pretty important and noteworthy to see that this all took place on the first day of the week, the same day Jesus walked out of the tomb. It was indeed a new beginning, a new creation. The restoring of life is God breathed out through Jesus. He's making new people of the disciples, and through them offering a whole new life to the world. Remember I told you Jesus gave his disciples peace twice? This is the peace that Jesus promised them in the upper room. On the night that he was arrested, I want you to hear these words from John chapter 14, verse 27. Jesus told them, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." This is the very same peace that he promised in John 16:33, saying, "I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you'll have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." This is so encouraging. Well, next, Jesus gave them a very important ministry to carry out in his name. They are to pronounce in the name of God and by his Spirit the message of forgiveness to all people who believe in Jesus. But they're also to retain the sins, to warn the world that sin is serious. It's a deadly disease. And that to remain in sin will bring death. They are to rebuke and warn, not because they don't like people or because they're seeking power or prestige for themselves, but because this is God's message to a jumbled, confused, mixed up, and still rebellious world. And so in giving them the gift of the Holy Spirit, it was an ordination of sorts. And Jesus told them, "If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. Clean slate. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." These apostles were no longer just followers or disciples of Jesus, but ministers to his people in his name and in his Holy Spirit. The power to forgive sins or not in Jesus' name. It was 20 years later that the apostle Paul clearly spoke to the people that the ministers of God would face, believers and non-believers. And he said, "For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are the smell of death, to the other the fragrance of life. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ we speak before God with sincerity, like men sent from God." That's 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. Paul asked, who is equal to this task? The answer is nobody. None of us. But God enables us to do it by the power of his Holy Spirit. The one who is missing from this blessed event, Thomas, one of the 12, also called Didymus. It's a Greek term, it means twin or double. I don't know where that fits in, but John thought it was important for us to hear that. So he had another name called Didymus. When he returned to the locked room, the others told him so excitedly that they've seen Jesus. And here Thomas reveals just a little bit of skepticism when he says, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hand and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Well, basically, Thomas was telling the others, "Oh, really? And I wasn't there?" Think about it. How would you react? Can you imagine the frustration that must have been building? Wow. Well, Jesus knows all of our needs, and he knew Thomas's needs as well, and he provides for them. A week later, on a Sunday, he appears in that locked room and, of course, gives them all his peace once again. But after giving his shalom, saying, "Peace be with you," he goes right over to Thomas, makes a beeline for him, the one who'd been missing and had told the others his conditions if the Lord came again, for him to absolutely believe. And so Jesus says to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." And what was Thomas's reaction? He says, "My Lord and my God." Can you imagine how he must have felt? I could just picture in my mind's eye, he must have dropped to his knees. and probably with tears in his eyes said, "My Lord and my God," proclaiming. He's overwhelmed. And do you know he's the first person to look at Jesus of Nazareth and address him with the word God directly to him. And Jesus' reaction to Thomas speaks not only to him, but to all believers. Because Jesus said to him, "Blessed, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." To everyone on a Sunday morning who's sitting in church, working their way through a sermon, hearing the raindrops or the fans going overhead, but we're here because we believe. Because God comes first. Jesus blesses us because we have not seen, but indeed we believe. This, the second to the last book of John's Gospel, takes us right back to the beginning of the Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's what Thomas was saying. John goes on to say, "No one has ever seen God, but the God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." That's John chapter 1, verse 18. These people, followers and ministers in Jesus' name, have seen the risen Lord, the Messiah. And they're going to go through Galilee and Jerusalem, meeting several times with Jesus. And each time, he's going to encourage them and offer them his peace. And then he'll give them more to do in the kingdom. In John chapter 21, the next chapter and the last chapter in the Gospel of John, Jesus reinstates Peter and charges him and the others to be shepherds of his people. You remember, "Peter, do you love me?" three times. To undo the three denials. And then in Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, on a mountain in Galilee, Jesus talks to them and says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples, followers of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age." He's telling them they're not alone. He's going to be with them forever. And Jesus was not yet ready to ascend to the Father, for he had more to tell them. And on the Mount of Olives, 43 days after Pentecost, across from the city of Jerusalem, Jesus had one more promise and one more job for them. And he told them that in just 1 week, on the day of Pentecost, which was coming, that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth. That's Acts chapter 1, verse 8. With these words, Jesus then ascended to the Father, into heaven, and from their view. And in 1 week after Jesus' ascension, 50 days from the Passover, on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem, the church would never be the same again. Because these ministers and their followers would be anointed by the Holy Spirit in a mighty way, given power and boldness, no more hiding, to take the gospel to the whole world. Their message is to believe in Jesus. And so through faith, you will have life in his name. I want you to hear these words from John chapter 1, verse 4. "In him was life, and that life was the light of men." Their mission was in the words Jesus spoke to them, and they passed on to others. "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." May we hear those words and do what he's telling us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.